the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
All right, yeah, welcome back to the program. We got more Bucket Strategy Investing. We're giving you the money information that you need to help you get through retirement. I'm Johnny Dean, and once again today we have Terry Keyes from Lucia Capital Group. He's filling in for our Professor Rick Plum, who I'm told should be back tomorrow. Have you talked to Professor Plum?
Just got off the phone right before the show.
He sounded okay?
He sounds better. You know, okay. He had a little bit of the flu, but he had to travel and do a presentation anyways.
Exactly. So that's why he was gone. He wasn't gone because of that.
No.
He's actually doing work.
He should have been home resting for 2 days because he had the flu pretty bad. But he's getting better by the hour right
okay,
now.
Okay, good. All right. So he'll be back tomorrow ostensibly. But anyway, Terry Keyes is here with me, and we're standing by ready to take your phone calls and your emails. So coming up this hour, now there's a lot to talk about because we're going to get into just the basics of the bucket strategy. All right, buckets. You've heard of it, right? The show's title says it all. Bucket Strategy Investing. But how does the bucket strategy work at, I suppose, its most basic level? So what I'm going to have Terry Keyes do, and he's real good at this, going to break down the buckets. We're going to tell you what you need to know. Terry's got all the information coming up here in just a moment or two. Now, we are taking phone calls, as we always do on this program. Our number here in the studio, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. Now, the show is just getting underway, so at the moment, we do have every line open for you. You should take advantage of the opportunity that you have to call the show. It does not have to be on buckets, by the way. It can be on anything at all. You can also send us your emails, wealthed.com. You click on the Find Your Answer link there. It's near the top of the page, and we'll read your email here in the studio. Terry Keyes, I said, is here in the stead of Professor Plum.
I got a little something before we get to the financial buckets and all that.
Okay, well, hang on, because I should tell them how to get in touch with you.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to just mention this. Terry is here courtesy of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group who have brought you this hour of the show. They remind you that your retirement needs are vastly different from anyone else's. It's true. No two situations are alike. You should have a retirement plan that focuses specifically on your goals and as an individual, right? With Lucia Capital Group, you do have access to the entire network of Brain Trust advisors, including right here on the show, and they're ready to help you out. You can call them directly off the air at that number, 800-644-1150. Schedule an appointment, see where you and your retirement plan stand, or just ask a money question. Again, 800-644-1150. All right, now before we get into it, Terry
Keyes. This is for all of our loyal listeners and viewers all over the nation that are not here in Southern California.
Where we happen to be right now.
Because a lot of times you see the news, John, you know this. You've been in the media business your whole life, okay?
All right, okay.
A lot of times you see the news and they make it look way, way worse than it really is. But we are hunkered down here in San Diego. We have had massive amounts of rain. I don't know what it's like around your house. You live pretty high on a hill. So do I. But when I look down below the hill, it's more of a pond now where it used to be cow pasture.
Yes. You can skip rocks.
There is water everywhere. There are roads that are closed everywhere. There's a school closed in San Diego because the school flooded.
Okay. All right.
But I just want anyone to know we're safe. Everybody's fine. No major damage. We had tornado warnings yesterday.
The rest of the country is scoffing. You realize this.
Yes, they
are. People have to deal with snowstorms, tornadoes, hurricanes.
They're saying those poor people in San Diego have one rainstorm since 1997.
They got a little rain. You got a little wet. You poor little guys. So, all right. It's the wind factor. All right. 877-PLANNER, our number, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Okay, buckets. Now, people have heard the term buckets, title of the program, Bucket Strategy Investing. We got into this a little bit. Buckets, what are we talking about? Just at its most basic level.
A common sense approach to organizing your assets prior to retirement and during retirement.
Okay, now, this means, okay, here's the typical, here's I think the typical non-buckets approach. You got, you know, a portfolio of $500,000, I don't know, whatever it is, whatever the number is. And the advisor says, okay, well, you are 60 years old, so I'm going to take 100 minus your age, and I'm going to say that you should be 40% in equities, and you should be 60% in safe money bonds.
Bonds, like usually. That. It's equities and bonds.
Stocks and bonds. And what we're going to do is you need $500,000, so we're going to give you, you know, 20 grand a year or whatever it is.
From your $500,000.
From your $500,000 out of this, because that's 4%. And we're just going to carve off a slice of that, and then every year we're going to rebalance it. And you say, well, wait a minute, that sounds great, except for the fact that what if this $500,000 turns into, you know, because of the market crashes or whatever happens as it does, and my 500 is suddenly worth 400,000. Well, they don't always have an answer.
So first of all, there's no real direct correlation over long periods of time between the bond market and the stock market. In other words, there's nothing that proves that whenever the stock market's down, the bond market's up.
Yeah.
They have no correlation to each other. So under that strategy that you just described, it's totally feasible at some particular time throughout your retirement or several particular times throughout your retirement that both could be down at the same time.
Yep.
So interest rates go up, your bonds go down. The market corrects, like we have all this scary stuff going on in the Chinese markets now and terrorism and everything else. That all happens. Let's say 2016 is that year. I don't know that it is, but let's say that it is. And you're drawing $20,000. Your $500,000 portfolio goes down to $350,000. You're now drawing $20,000 from $350,000.
Well, that's way more than 4%. I'll give
you
that.
And because you need your $20,000, $1,600 a month, whatever it is, okay, every month, you're forced to sell to take it. So you are doing exactly the opposite of what every finance professor in the world would teach you, and that is don't sell assets when they're declining. You want to buy assets when they're declining. I could imagine right now today, John, after the second or third consecutive day of major sell-offs in the Chinese, the Shanghai index.
They shut down.
There's got to be some buying opportunities there right now, though. I mean, well, if not today, maybe. So my point is, and I'm not buying the Chinese market, by the way. I'm just trying to make a point that you probably wouldn't want to be selling out. That's the perfect example. You want to be selling $20,000 a day of the Chinese market to live on? So when you use that method that you described, okay, an asset allocation model with reverse dollar cost averaging, right?
Yes.
You're forced to sell in reverse dollar cost
averaging. Yeah, because what do you do? Take a cut and pay. You got to have your 20 grand or whatever your number is every year. You can't do that. But then you also can't control the market forces that brought your $500,000 portfolio down to 350 or 4.
Now, that asset allocation model, international, domestic, stocks, bonds, is fine if you're 40 years old and put money into your 401k every week, every month. It's fine. I have no problem. It's a great idea because you'll dollar cost average in.
Take advantage of the volatility.
All the young people watching and listening, don't worry about moving assets into safe categories when you're 40 years old because you have time.
It's the 60-year-old
5 years prior to retirement that sits there with 80% of their money in the market because they're getting greedy because this has been the most unbelievable bull market for 6 straight years or 9, 7 straight years, whatever it's been, right? That's just getting a little greedy. Their broker says, I can do this for you. And then they get blindsided 1 or 2 years before retirement and lose 20%, 15, 30, whatever the number is of their portfolio. That's the person that has to have a common sense approach, has to have a strategy that can protect you a little bit better than being forced to sell.
All right, so how does dividing your call it your $500,000, or if you want to make it $1 million to make it easy, I don't know, how does dividing that up into buckets help at all?
Well, the first approach and the most basic, which is where you want me to start, the most basic bucket strategy would be to determine the amount you need. So let's say you've already done that for us. You said it was $20,000 a year, okay? So this particular couple with $500,000 needs $20,000 a year. The first thing I'm going to do is set aside 5 to 7 years worth, depending on the client. Have a discussion with the client. Are you more comfortable with 5, 6, 7? Okay. If they're real scaredy cats, I'll go 8 years. We'll set aside 8 years worth.
Call it so roughly.
Yeah.
7 years.
7 years is the textbook of a bucket strategy. Okay. So we're going to 7 years. We're going to set aside approximately $140,000, maybe a little less because we can earn some interest.
And put it where?
And put it in a safe money, something that absolutely has no correlation to the stock market.
And cannot go down.
Cannot go down. Safe money. So what are you going to give up when you do that? You're going to give up some rate of return. Anytime you go to an investment that has principal protection and is safe money, you're going to give up rate of return. I mean, this is, again, common sense.
Of course.
If you're willing to leave something there for a longer period of time and take some risk will mitigate your risk over time.
So now I've got essentially 7 years, call it, of money coming in that I know no matter what the stock market does, because it's in safe investments, I'm going to draw that money down all the way down to zero. I'm okay for the next 7 years.
So under that scenario, and let's start with this one, that's a two bucket strategy right there.
Okay.
7 years, 140. Mm-hmm. I did the math in my head. There's 360,000 left, right? Mm-hmm. So I've got two buckets. My second bucket that I can leave alone for 7 or more years. So I can find a little higher producing investments that I know I can leave, and I'm going to spend down the 7. So that's, as a starter, that's the basics of, and I like to always start when someone has no idea what buckets is, what you and I just did is how I like to start, because you got to start with, this is just a simple concept, common sense concept. Says out. Now, what we'll do is you and I will take it a couple steps further. We'll add some buckets for more diversification, for more flexibility, for more non-correlation.
Well, and for more time. Mm-hmm. Because even 7 years, if you had two buckets, you have safe money, you spend it all down. You used all your $140,000, you took $20,000 a year safely for 7 years. Now you've got the rest of your money sitting in equities. Well, that 7-year period, I mean, you know, you're it could, the market could still be down. We've had 7-year periods.
Yeah, I was going to say, historically, if you look back, and that's all you can base it on, right? No one has a crystal ball of the future. If you look back historically and test the indexes and the markets, the Dow and the S&P and the NASDAQ, 7 is probably not quite enough time. So when we come back from the break, I want to talk about how to extend it maybe to 15 or 20 years.
So maybe another 7 years.
Yeah, or more maybe.
Or more. Well, 7, 8 years, whatever it is. And so that would be adding, instead of buckets 1 and 2, you now have a bucket 1, a
We'll
two,
start by adding a third bucket. And then we'll add some bonus buckets. How's
okay,
that?
Okay, all right. So that's gradually getting into it. But that is the basic right there.
Right.
Safe money, allowing you to buy enough time so that the money that you put in a little bit riskier categories has time to grow. Now the question there, the key word there is time. You need the time. How much time? Is 7 years enough? No, probably not. I wouldn't want to take that risk. You need more time than that. So we'll talk more. Hey, phone calls, welcome on any topic at all. Buckets or no, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. Johnny Dean, Terry Keyes today. It's Bucket Strategy Investing. Indeed, 877-PLANNER, our number, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. We're going to take some phone calls here in just a couple of moments. Johnny Dean, Terry Keyes sitting in for Professor Rick Plum, who's doing his talks up in the Pacific Northwest today. And by the way, you're going to be there. I should mention this too, Terry Keyes. You and Professor Rick Plum are going to be trotting around the country. It's the 2016 Retirement Income Strategies Workshops. These are all presented by Lucia Capital Group. They're back again for the 50th year in a row. No, I'm kidding. I don't know what it is, but long time. You got some dates coming up.
Yeah, February 20th, Las Vegas, Nevada. February 27th, Seattle. And then in March, if you're listening in Phoenix, we will be there on March 12th. But the first two, the 20th and the 27th, Vegas and Seattle. These are two-hour Saturday morning workshops, John.
Yes.
We usually start very promptly at 9 a.m., and we usually get you out there, when I say 2, maybe 11:30 at the latest, 2:30 at the most,
yes.
Okay, depending on questions. Very, very educational. We talk about Social Security strategies. We talk about lifetime income strategies,
mm-hmm.
Using alternative investments in retirement. We talk about professionally managed portfolios, the pros and cons to using all these different types of things. And then the most important thing we talk about is, how do you put all that together and integrate it into your strategy?
So. Well, that's right. And by the way, too, if you have questions on anything, you bring those questions with you, because question and answer.
We always finish the workshop with a good 20 minutes or so of answering everybody's questions.
Exactly.
And if or you meeting have, individual people
or individual.
Afterwards.
If you don't want to raise your hand in the group or whatever, that's fine. You can talk to them individually after the show. So check wealthed.com. You can sign up. It's all free. And if the sign-up sheet isn't there yet,
it will be tomorrow.
You can call us at 800-644-1150 off the air. All right, 877-PLANNER, our number on the air, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. We're going to get to Bucket 2 in a second. Terry, I want to take a couple of calls here so that we don't leave people on hold too long. Let's get to Kathy in Henderson, Nevada up next. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question on Social Security and the Windfall Elimination Act, I think it's called.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to be 67 this year, and I started taking my Social Security when I was 62. I get $1,200 a month. My husband is going to be 66 this year, and he's holding off. He's retired. He's holding off on collecting his Social Security until he's full retirement age. But he is getting, he's got two pensions that he's getting. One is a PERS, which that's $600 a month, and the other one is a defined benefit plan that he's been getting since, I think he was 55, and that's also $600. So there's a total of $1,200 that he's getting in those types of pensions. And what I wanted to know is, is the windfall elimination
Provision
going to affect us? His full retirement benefit is going to be like maybe $2,000 or a little bit more.
Okay, so how old is he right now, Kathy?
He's 65. He'll be 66.
Okay. All right. So next year when he reaches full retirement age, so the number you're seeing for his age 66 full benefit, the 2000 number, whatever that is, they have not taken windfall into consideration with that number yet. Social Security doesn't know about his PERS pension. What about this defined benefit plan, though? Where is that from? What job did that come from?
He worked for a company called TRW in Redondo Beach, California.
I know it very well.
I know people that work in that same building.
I know people that used to work in that same building, too. All right, so the TRW is not subject to the windfall.
No. Now, did he ever work in a job where he did not pay into Social Security? I know he was a federal employee. Right?
He worked for a short time for TSA. I'm not sure, but that was like a year or so. And
okay.
I'm not sure if, I guess he wasn't paying Social Security in that job, but I'm not sure.
Well, federal workers, they were hired, I think it was after December 31st, 1983.
They
started
paying.
They went from the CSRS to the PERS system,
right.
PERS system, where they actually did pay into Social Security.
So the answer to your question really lies in the fact that PERS check that he's receiving in retirement, if when earning that he was paying into Social Security, he'd have no windfall. If he was not paying Social Security for all those years on that particular amount of money that earned him that PERS, then there will be some, but not very much for you guys, since his pension's only $600 a month, John, from that particular check.
Yeah, it won't be much, but if he did pay into Social Security, if he was hired after 1984 or later, which I assume he was, right? Because TSA.
Well, then he wouldn't have. He paid in. There's no windfall then.
Right. The windfall elimination provision does not apply if you were hired, if you're a federal worker hired after December 31st, 1983. Or if you work for...
Okay, then. That's good news, then. We don't have to worry about it, and
you should not have to, no. Now, Professor Plum
is slowly going away over time, John, because it's harder and harder to meet people that worked their whole career prior to 1983.
Yes, but there are still some teachers
who
work in states where they did not pay into Social Security.
Yeah.
They are subject to that. But if he paid into Social Security, then it should not affect him at all.
So for federal workers, though, it is slowly going away. Eventually, we won't even talk about it for federal workers at some point. Just hospital employees and teachers.
Certain teachers, yeah. But if he paid in, I don't think he has anything to worry about.
If we're understanding all the information correctly, there should be no windfall elimination in your situation, Kathy.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's good news. Thank you so much. I've been really worried about it. I appreciate it.
Information
that you give everyone. So thank you.
All right. Well, Kathy, grab your husband and bring him down to the February 20th Las Vegas. Come and meet Rick and I in Las Vegas.
Oh, that would be great.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
Take care, Kathy. Thank you. Yeah, it does apply. And again, Professor Plum, who's normally here, he's the real expert.
Well, he
on this
probably. I don't know, because I don't want to. Put him on the spot or anything, but he probably in his head could have done the exact calculation if it was a situation. That's how good Rick is at doing those calculations.
Well, yeah, and we don't necessarily do the math, but the windfall elimination provision does affect people who were not paying into the Social Security system.
Right.
And again,
that's the whole purpose of it.
They're
figuring you didn't pay, so why should you get it, right?
Well, what they're figuring is that
you're already
getting a
public
pension
exactly. Right? Yep,
yeah.
A federal pension.
Now, the other thing that goes along with this, which we're not going to have time to get into, is the government pension offset. Now, the windfall elimination provision for Social Security that she's talking about affects your own benefit. It can reduce your benefit. There are people who are getting government pensions though, who are subject to the government pension offset, and that has to do with receiving benefits from somebody else, say a spousal benefit.
It's usually what we see, right?
Exactly. And so sometimes that can, in many cases, eliminate your ability to take a benefit off of somebody else's work record.
Yeah, you may get nothing from Social Security, basically.
Exactly, yeah. So anyway, that's the answer to that. Okay, 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. We only got a minute or so. We're going to get to some more calls here in just a couple of moments. I also want to get to, when we come back after we take a couple of calls, I want to make sure we cover this thing on buckets, because we are talking basics of buckets. If you're tuning in, we mentioned we're adding a bucket, all right? We had two buckets. We're now going to add a third bucket.
Yep.
We're going to tell you how to extend perhaps the safer money out into what, 15 years?
We started with the grade school version of buckets. We're now moving up to the high school version next, okay?
Okay, and then the college
then
version.
Then the college, then the pro after that.
Right. Pro. All right, we're upgrading you before your eyes.
A PhD. We'll get you a PhD in buckets eventually.
That's right. This is a free upgrade, folks. All right, hang on. If you're on hold, I will put, I think David in Vancouver will put you next. So don't go away. We got to take a quick break. We're going to come back with your questions. And we still have two lines open, so get them now while they're free. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Johnny Dean, Terry Keyes, in for Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. It's Bucket Strategy Investing. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Terry Keyes sitting in. We thank him for sitting in for Professor Plum today. Professor will be winging his way back home tomorrow, so he should be here tomorrow. I want to remind you, too, that since today, it's already Thursday? What happened? Today is Thursday. Coming up today, it's the Femme Finance program at WealthEd.com. Dinah Smith and Catherine Ford, they're going to be talking about longevity. Big thing. How long are you going to live? You don't know. How much money do they have to make sure you don't run out of money before you run out of time? Well, that's the strategy. So they're going to be talking about that this afternoon, 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern time, only at WealthEd.com. All right, our number, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. As promised, we'll take a few more of your calls before we finish up some of this bucket discussion. David is next in Vancouver, Washington. Hi, David.
Hello. Hey, in 2013... both my wife and I made early in the year a $6,500 Roth contribution. And in October of 2013, my mother-in-law died, and the money situation worked out that we were over the contribution limits for Roth. And so we recharacterized both of those Roths to a non-deductible traditional IRA. Mm-hmm. Each of us have a couple of other IRAs from earlier in our work career. We are recently retired, due to the proportional allocation rules, I know they count all your traditional IRAs as one big group for converting traditional IRAs to Roth in the future. And would it be easiest to just liquidate both of those recharacterized Roths to cash and pay the taxes that are due on them this year, so in next year that we can start as the tax room in the tax bracket allows us to right. move some of our traditional IRAs over to Roth money? Well, is that a way to get around the proportional allocation rule?
I'm not sure I really understand how you're doing this, because you recharacterized two Roths that you determined in the middle of the year that you wouldn't be able to use because you were going to be over the 180,000 some limit. So you recharacterized them that year. You should have, what you did then was you just held them in non-deductible IRA, so you've never taken a deduction for them.
No.
Well, then there's no tax due on them. So
right there. Yes. Yeah. Well, they're whatever they made, there's tax due on
right.
the earnings. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
But if. Yeah, okay.
How much money do you have in other regular IRAs?
250,000 maybe.
Okay, so we can't get rid of. Yeah, so you're not going to be able. You're not able to do what we call the backdoor Roth, because you have to have no other IRAs when you do that. So, if I understand what you're saying correctly, yeah, there is really no other option, in my opinion, for you. There's no secret weapon or anything out there.
Oh no, I'm not trying to find a secret weapon. I just don't want to get hung up by the IRS in 2017 converting my traditional Roths to our traditional IRAs into some Roth money. You know, maybe I have $15,000 left in
the bracket.
Right, so and that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what you'll do. You'll figure out each year how much you can do, and you'll decide how much to do and do whatever you can to keep.
I don't see how that could be a problem, though, Terry.
It's not at all. No, there's no problem.
Okay, so I can liquidate, because I understand, I'm an engineer, not a tax guy, but if I tried to move my traditional IRA money into Roth, they would I would have to pay, tax. I'd have to liquidate. I'm not sure exactly what the rule.
Well, you would have to pay. You would have to pay taxes on whatever money that was deductible going in, right?
Then that's only the earnings.
Whatever pre-tax money, and that would just be the earnings, correct?
The only thing the IRS has not received is tax on the earnings. That's the only issue here, David.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
That's it.
And so it would be, and then if I do liquidate those in the future, I will be able to move traditional IRA money into Roth as my brackets allow.
Exactly. That's exactly. You understand it. You are explaining it like we would explain it to you.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. The engineer brain works very well, David.
Oh, maybe sometimes.
Well, it happened to work in this case. Yeah.
All right.
Does that help you out?
It does.
All right. Great. Thanks. Thanks for listening and thanks for the question.
Yeah. Thank you, David. Okay. So explain if you would, what,
well, whenever you're going to go to start converting regular IRAs to Roth,
yes, traditional IRAs.
Yeah, they're going to look at the other types of these non-deductible IRAs and how long you had them. And you can't just say, I want to do this one and not this one.
Yeah,
that's what we were talking about, these proportional rules.
Yes, well, because it's if you have a certain amount of non-deductible money, or I'm sorry, tax, called tax deferred money and post-tax money, they're going to look at all of your IRAs as one big IRA.
Right.
So there's a proportion that has to be
taken out. It could be 90-10, it could be 85-15,
yes.
And you got to do it proportionately. I mean,
yes.
the goal, like, and he's going to accomplish it, is to get everything back to 100% IRAs, then you can convert whatever you want every year, and that's what I was explaining.
Yeah, so part of the problem when you have non-deductible money inside the IRAs, mm-hmm. You have pre-tax money and post-tax money, they're going to look at that proportional. So if you have $100,000 in total IRAs and $70,000 of that is pre-tax and $30,000 is post-tax, mm-hmm. they're going to look at it that. So any money that you take out, they're going to consider to be a 70-30 proportion.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
And to really complicate matters a little further, why I asked him, do you have any other IRAs? He said, yeah, 200 and some thousand.
Right.
If he had no other IRA, at all, he could have done a Roth conversion. Because there was no other. There was no proportional issue.
Yes, but now you do have that. So, yep. All right. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. We were talking a little while ago about buckets. Now, you mentioned a basic situation. I said a retiree has $500,000, let's call it, okay? Mm-hmm. They need $20,000 a year, 4% workable, okay? You were talking about the bucket strategy where we say, okay, if you need $20,000 a year, what we really need to do is call it 7 years of safe money. So you carve off $140,000 of that $500,000 and you put it into something safe where they can't lose money. They'll be drawing that money down. It's called bucket one. Over the next 7 years in safety where they're not going to lose principal no matter what happens.
No matter what happens to the stock market, that 7 years is safe. So what
exactly.
You did was you bought yourself time. In that situation, you bought 7 years.
You bought 7 years. Now, the question is other money.
The question is 7 years enough? And you and I agree it's not.
Right, because, no, 7 years, yes. Is 7 years enough for the other $360,000 that you put at risk to grow?
Right.
And
the answer is
really not.
It's probably not.
You might get lucky.
The answer is it depends on your risk tolerance as well, because the way I like to describe risk and taking risk and not taking risk in a portfolio is not whether I'm in some international gold fund versus some other high risk investment, okay? The risk in when I'm describing and training and teaching buckets all over the country, the risk is the more time I buy you with safe money, the safer your portfolio is.
Correct.
But you're going to earn less overall.
Well,
so
you tell me
how risky you want to get. So for me, John, mm-hmm. I might have no problem with that basic buckets plan right there. I might have no problem putting the rest of the 360 into the markets, diversified, professionally managed, and buy myself 7 years. But for the average person, where you're going, and you're correct, is I don't think seven is.
Enough.
So what we do for most people is we put a middle bucket in to buy another 8 years. Therefore, if we bought seven with the first bucket, we put some money in investments, we leave it alone for seven, right, and then spend that money down over the next eight, and then whatever the calculation is for whatever money's left can now be left in the long-term equities bucket or the long-term investments, whatever they are, okay? And now I bought you 15 years.
Now, that middle bucket that you just talked about,
mm-hmm.
The first bucket was 7 years of safety. It's guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Now, because you've got some time before you hit that second bucket, for year seven mm-hmm. to call it 15, you don't have to keep it absolute guaranteed. You can go a little farther out on the risk curve, right?
The easiest way to teach people how to do this is the first bucket, okay, the bucket when you're facing the buckets plan, on the left, the safest money is all in cash, let's say, all right, just for teaching purposes. Yeah. The bucket on the right is all in equities, let's yes. say, all right? When I wedge a middle bucket in, common sense approach, half of that money would be in safer investments, bond type, mm-hmm. short duration bond type stuff, and half could be in equities. So the perfect, in a perfect world, and it's not right now because interest rates and bonds are not a great idea, but in a perfect world, under normal situations, you could use some type of a balanced investment.
So the whole idea, Terry Keyes, is to buy the time so that the riskiest money, which is what we'll call the equity bucket, the third bucket in this particular case, can grow. And 15 years is a fairly decent amount of time to allow that to happen.
For the average investor, looking back over realistic periods of time, we find that 15 years is the right amount of time. That doesn't mean someone might want to go 20.
Right.
And I might want to go 7.
877-PLANNER, our number. You have questions on this or anything else, give us a call. We're coming right back. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. There's another hour coming up with me, Johnny Dean, Terry Keyes, answering your money questions. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. We still have more to say on buckets. I know we have a couple of calls asking about this, so we're going to take some calls, as we will next hour as well. We'll also get to your emails. If you want to email us, you go to wealthed.com, our website, wealthed.com. You click on the Find Your Answer link, and we'll get it right here in the studio. Let's move along. Terry Keyes up next. Franklin in Houston, Texas. Hello, Franklin.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Good. Hey, Keyman. I haven't spoke to you and the Pumpmeister since you were wearing Hawaiian shirts on the air. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah. Hey, listen, how do you work in RMD payments, given the plan you and John just described, the three buckets, the middle bucket, and the two end buckets? How do you work in, for planning purposes, RMD payments?
Okay, so there's lots of different ways to do it. Everybody's strategy is a little bit different, Franklin, but when we describe that bucket one to you, we move IRA money. Enough IRA, we do a calculation every year when we review with you, and we move enough IRA money into bucket one, and we make sure it's there a year in advance always to do your RMD. And then as part of the payment, as part of that 20,000, let's say your RMD was 5,000 a year. So part of that 20 that we're going to be sending you every year, we make sure comes from your IRA so that you satisfy your RMD.
Do it the other way around. Suppose your RMD payment is 2 to 3 times what your living requirements are.
You have no choice. You have to take your RMD. So if your RMD ends up being 2 to 3 times, what we can do is just take investments that and then we do not need to move them to cash and spend them in bucket one is where you're going. But I do need to move them out of the IRA. And all we do is we temporarily transfer them from your IRA to your regular individual or brokerage account. And you will get a 1099 on that amount, but you don't spend it in that scenario.
Yeah, but what happens to the future years? You know, bucket one will last you know, 7 or 8 years. After bucket one is out of the way, you've got the middle bucket, then you've got the long-term bucket. How do you handle the RMD payments?
But when you build the bucket strategy, when you build the plan, and we calculated that you didn't need all of your RMD, we move more IRA money to buckets two and three that'll be available each and every year. So you'll be taking RMD every year and converting it. Even though it's too much, it's going to get moved to bucket two or three. If you're not going to spend it, it has to go to one of the other two buckets.
Yeah, but bucket two or three does not guarantee the money will be there in case of a market collapse, does it?
Well, then you can move it to cash. Now you're just adjusting your plan. Again, it all goes to risk. If you're not comfortable moving it to bucket, if you don't trust long-term, 7 to 15 years with your IRA money, then I move it to cash, short duration type stuff, but you just don't spend it. But it's got to come out of the IRA either way.
Once it comes out of the IRA, Terry, it's wherever you happen to want it.
Yeah, it's wherever you want it.
It depends on your own risk.
In a traditional plan, we don't have a problem because you're in that scenario, you're going to pass on someday with all this money that came out of your IRA into your non-IRA, and it's going to go to your kids. So I want it in equities normally, because I'm not worried about risk, Franklin, because I know I've got 10 to 15 years, because when it comes out of my IRA and it goes to my kids, if it grew at all, I get a step up in basis on it.
Well, my concern is the obligation for you to make that payment is there, as you say, even for buckets 2 and 3.
Yes.
And so you have to put it into something safe. You just can't lump it into 2 or lump it into 3 and just have the diversification that you have in there take care of it, because that may not be the case, because you're obligated to make those payments.
No, you're missing the point. You're not, Franklin. You're obligated to take it out of the IRA, not spend it.
You
just have to pay taxes on it. So you own $1 million of IBM stock.
You don't have to sell it.
And it's in your IRA. I can take your $20,000 worth of IBM that day, not sell one share, move it to your non-IRA. It's still bucket 3. It's still IBM stock.
Right.
And it's just non-IRA now.
You do not have to sell the equities in order to do it.
So there is no obligation to move it to cash. Absolutely not.
Does that make sense?
Okay, well, you know, once you take the money for planning purposes, how do you plan this, though? How do I plan 10 years down the road?
Well, you sit down with myself and Professor Plum, and we show you how to personalize your specific plan, because every single person's is different, and we show you. We plan it out. We do a 15 to 20-year projection, and it's what you're referring to is asset location, how much of your IRA money goes in what type of investments.
How old are you, Franklin?
Okay. This year will be 68.
68.
Yeah, so you're only a couple years away.
Yeah, a lot of times.
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to find this thing now. Yeah.
No, that's
you need
that's
you
a
need
good
to
idea.
Schedule a conference call or a meeting when we're in Houston with us, and I'll show you how to do it. But I mean, I can't do it here on the air right now. But it's.
Oh, well, hang on if you want, Franklin. We can have somebody talk to you about this. The Hawaiian shirt doesn't matter. However you want to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Have you met?
And by the way, I'm single, so it'll be a hell of a party. There are not going to be any heirs.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Good.
Well, even better, I suppose. All right. Well, Frank, does that help you out, Franklin?
Yeah, it does, John. Thanks a lot.
All right. Take
Franklin,
care.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you for the call. Yeah, that's a big misconception.
I was just going to say that. He's not alone. People all across the country are a little misunderstood on
RMD. They say, look, I've got this portfolio. I'm very happy with it. It's in my IRA. And I got to take a distribution out. That means I got to sell some of the stuff. I don't want to sell it.
All right, so
I want to hold on to it.
So here's a single guy.
You don't have to.
But here's a single guy in Houston who's RMD, and he can give us the numbers, is going to be way more than he needs. I'm going to do everything I can when I'm with him to try to, buy a Corvette. Buy something that has a monthly payment, and so let's spend this money annually, because if he just said he has no heirs.
So the money doesn't, well, maybe it's going to a charity after.
Well, if that's what he wants, then let's figure out charity should get a long-term investment too then.
Well, yeah.
So it's all part of planning. Everybody's case is individual.
You do not have to. And remember what was it in 2008 or 2009? Congress passed this. They said you do not have to take an RMD this year. I think it was 2009. And they said the reason is because we don't want people to have to sell the shares out of
the
their IRA.
Because the market hit the all-time low.
So you don't have to take an RMD for that year. And wait a minute. Who says you have to sell them? Congress didn't even understand how this works.
Yeah.
So how are individual people supposed to know? When you take a required minimum distribution, Terry, you can leave it. All you do is you report it on your income tax form. You pay taxes on it.
Yep.
Ordinary income taxes, right?
Right. Now, some people need – here is a good point. Some people need to sell the shares in order to raise the cash to pay the tax, not for living expenses. That's a whole other scenario.
Well, there you go.
We didn't get into that. But
you do have to pay taxes on it. But if assuming that that's not the case, that you don't need the cash to pay the taxes – you do not have to do it. You just move it from IRA into personal. Yeah. Same thing as if you were just converting it to a Roth.
Right.
You're converting it to a personal account.
Right.
That's all it is.
But when making a contribution, it does have to be cash.
Yes, it does. All right. We're out of time for this hour. We got another hour coming up. Whole lot more to talk about, including buckets, asset location. You mentioned that. If you want to reach the Brain Trust off the air, Terry Keyes or Professor Plum or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group, their phone number off the air, 800-644-1150. 800-644-1150. Another hour, as I said, is just ahead. Johnny Dean, Terry Keyes, don't go away.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.